at the most troubling, the most difficult moments of your life, what did you do? Where did you go when you thought things couldn't possibly get any worse? In fact, you wondered if they might even ever really get any better. As I look out over our congregation tonight, I don't know what that moment is for each one of you, though knowing all of you well, I have suspicion of what those moments might be in each and every one of your lives. And you probably know me well enough to know what some of those moments have been in my life. It might be the moment that you had a health crisis and your ability to work, to make an income for your family and their support, was seriously compromised, and maybe even wondered if you were going to live. It might be a moment where somebody very close to you and your family had an illness that threatened their life or maybe even took their life. It may be a moment where you lost a job. It may be a moment where the doctor told you you had a chronic issue that was going to be with you for the rest of your life. It may be the moment where you lost a parent or a son or a daughter. It may be a moment where you had serious conflict within your family, with in-laws, or with sons or daughters, or even with a spouse, or with your friends. I don't know what your specific moment is, although for most of you, I could probably guess. But I do know this. There's only one place to go. I'm reminded of the song that says, "Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Trying alone to face temptation sore, where could I go but to the Lord?" And that is the refrain that hits me over and over again when I look at the psalm that we just read. When things are so bad that you think they couldn't get any worse, where is it that you could possibly go? And I dare say that in those moments, each one of us went there. Because if we hadn't, we don't know where we'd be right now. And the troubling thing is that so many people don't go there. That for so many people in the world, when something like that happens, you know, maybe they think, well, the only thing left to do now is pray. When they should have been thinking all along, when can I possibly get to my knees to pray? Because it's the very first thing I should be doing at a moment like this. Because prayer takes us closer to the heart of God. Prayer takes us not in some magical talisman kind of way to affect God's will and to change God's will, but brings us closer to God's will ourselves so that we can live within it. And we can say to him, "May this cup pass, yet not my will, but thy will." The very first place we should be going is to God, to his heart, to his character, and to his scriptures. For comfort, yes, but also to be shaped and to be filled with what God wants from us and to be transformed in those soul-crushing moments that serve as a refiner's fire. Doubtless that is what is on David's mind as he pen, as he, I'm sorry, not David's mind, the sons of Korah, as they penned this particular psalm that Ed read for us just a moment ago. We're going to work our way through this psalm tonight. And there are three sections of this psalm, and each at the end of each section, we're invited with the word Selah to stop and pause. That's our best guess as to what that word means. Stop and pause. Perhaps to pause to think and meditate. Perhaps to pause to pray. Perhaps to pause to offer ourselves in consecration and devotion. Perhaps all three. But tonight we will pause and we will pray and we will sing. And so I'd like to direct your attention to Psalm 46, beginning with verse 1. We're going to look at each of the three sections of this psalm. And we will pause, we will pray, and we will sing. The psalm opens this way. God is our refuge, our strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. The psalm opens up by saying the only place we can go for refuge is to the God who created us and who sustains us and who protects us. He is, the psalmist says, our refuge. That is to say, he is the place that we go and hide, the place where we cannot be oppressed. He's the place that offers protection from what is on the outside. He is the great fortress. He is the impenetrable defense. He is the one place where evil can never go, because he is all good and there is no evil in him. And though you find your refuge in God, don't make the mistake. The psalmist is not saying nothing will ever happen to you, because he begins to talk about all of the bad things that happen around you. Did you notice that in verse 2? We will not fear, even though the earth itself gives way, even though you feel like you have no solid footing to stand on, even though, he says, the mountains be moved. The mountains were the place of a tactical advantage for Israelites. Their enemies thought of Jehovah, Yahweh, as being the God of the mountains. Jerusalem sat on a mountain surrounded by hills and valleys. And even though, he says this, the mountains get moved into the heart of the sea, or though the waters of the sea, by the way, the Hebrew people were not a seafaring people. They did not care for the sea. The Philistines came in on the sea. The people to the north in Tyre and Sidon had mastered the sea and would ship their goods and services down the coasts. Invaders came from the sea. The Israelites liked dry land. And they said, though the sea rises up, and the waters get higher and higher and higher, and the stable footing becomes unsure and gets replaced with water where there is no place or footing of safety, even though that happens, we will not fear. Why? Why can we be so confident and so sure when the most solid of footings collapsed? Because God is a fortress. God is a protection. Psalm 9, verse 9, says that God is a stronghold for the oppressed, that he is a stronghold in time of trouble. In the worst moments, we retreat safe into the heart of God, not out of the idea that our circumstances will automatically be fixed, but with the idea that if we have him and we hide ourselves in his heart, none of those circumstances can ever really harm us. Selah. Let's pray. Our God, we thank you for being our fortress. We thank you for being our refuge, for being a place of protection, for being a place of hiding. We believe and we trust that in you no real harm can befall, and that even death itself is no threat. Bring us ever closer into your heart, that we may experience love and that we may be transformed. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Let's sing number 477. There is a place of quiet rest. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. A place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, send from the heart of God. Hold us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of comfort sweet, near to the heart of God. A place where we our Savior meet, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, send from the heart of God. Hold us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of full release, near to the heart of God. A place where all is joy and peace, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, send from the heart of God. Hold us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God. Beginning with verse 4, the sons of Korah invite us to consider. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The psalmist begins this section by talking about a river. The river is the place where civilization flourishes, right? The big cities are built on the river because we need water to sustain life. You have to have a place where you can go and the people can be refreshed, where we can be hydrated. And of course, the cities are built around waters because the waters offer a natural venue for transportation. Whether it's Nashville or Atlanta or Birmingham or New York or St. Louis or Minneapolis, you get the picture. The place to be is near the water. And when the water gets threatened, then all kinds of bad things happen. I remember when I lived in Atlanta several years ago, we were undergoing a major drought. And the level of the reservoirs, the lakes, Lake Altoona, Lake, I forgot the name of the other lake, Lanier. The lakes began to go down. And they went down so far that you could see the remnants of houses and trucks and all kinds of other things, piers that were at the bottoms of the lake because the lake, that's where the lakes had been flooded in order to create the reservoirs. When you have a city like Atlanta, where when I moved there, 500 new people a day were moving in, that source of water is pretty important. And the state began rationing water. We went to extreme measures to protect the water. I can remember even this, I thought this was crazy, but the water was so important. And I know y'all were undergoing a drought here too. We were undergoing it all over the Southeast. You remember what it was like. The water was so important, and protecting the water was so important. There was an actual movement going on in the state of Georgia to sue the state of Tennessee to have the border moved so that Georgia could have access to the Tennessee River and dam it up and divert the water south. I mean, it got that bad. We need water. The psalmist said that there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. We love the water. And he doesn't have in mind a literal river here. He has in mind the river of God's heart and the river of God's character, the source of nourishment. In the Psalms, the river is pictured as a place in Psalm chapter 36, verses 7 through 9, where people are taken care of. In Psalm 36, David says, "How precious is your steadfast love, O God." This is beginning verse 7. "The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life, and in your light do we see light." In you is the fountain of life. And he said, this fountain is a river, a stream of flowing delights where everybody comes and they partake and they are blessed. The psalmist says in verse 4, this river makes glad the city. He has in mind here Jerusalem. Although, interestingly enough, Jerusalem did not have a major river by it. He said, there is a city with a river. Jerusalem just had this little stream, this little wadi, the brook of Jabbok, that ran down the Kidron Valley. Hezekiah had the foresight to dam it up and dig a tunnel so that it would flow into the lower parts of the city of Jerusalem, and the people could survive a siege because they had access to the water from the city. Psalmist says, God is a delight. And so it only makes us more safe, more secure, when we feed off of Him, when we go to Him for nourishment and strength, and it helps us face any situation. You remember what the psalmist said in Psalm chapter 1? In the very first psalm, his delight, this is the righteous person, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the river of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. So his leaf won't wither, and whatever he does will prosper. He will not be moved. Remember the old song that we used to sing? Just like a tree planted by the water, I shall not be moved. And so no matter what happens, I will not be moved. The psalmist says, God is in the midst, and so she, that is the city, will not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns, whether the nations are raging or he utters his voice and the earth melts. The kingdoms are tottering, he says in verse 6. God is our fortress. So let us go to the river and find our delight in it. Selah. Let's pray. Our God, you are the highest good, and there is nothing more wonderful, there is nothing that is more beautiful, there is nothing that is more beneficial than you, than your heart, than your providence. May we seek to rely on it fully, and may we draw our delight from it. Draw us ever nearer to that heart so that it shapes who we are, and so we will never be moved. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Number 478 is Nearer, Still Nearer. Nearer, still nearer, close to thy heart. Draw me, my Savior, so precious thou art. Fold me, O fold me, close to thy breast. Shelter me safe in that haven of rest. Shelter me safe in that haven of rest. Nearer, still nearer, nothing bring, not as an offering to Jesus my King. Only my sinful, now contrite heart, grant me the cleansing thy blood doth impart. Grant me the cleansing thy blood doth impart. Nearer, still nearer, Lord, to be thine. Sin with its follies I gladly resign. All of its pleasure, pomp, and its pride, give me but Jesus, my Lord crucified. Give me but Jesus, my Lord crucified. Nearer, still nearer, while life shall last, till safe in glory my anchor is cast. Through endless ages, ever to be, nearer my Savior, still nearer to thee. Nearer my Savior, still nearer to thee. Beginning verse 8. The sons of Korah say, come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariot with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. He has brought desolations upon the earth. That's not a brag about how destructive and punitive God is. That is a brag about how God can take all conflicts generated by sin and bring them to a halt. Everything that is bad, everything that is destructive, everything that is unwholesome and impure, that is causing trouble and strife and conflict, God is able to put a stop to it. Those are his works. In verse 9, the text says, he makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. The psalmist is looking forward to an age where there is going to be peace, perfect peace on the earth. Peace was such an important concept to the Jewish people And they thought of peace not in the terms of, well, we don't have any fighting going on today. They thought in peace as terms of wholeness and wellness, where everything was going well in life, and where I'm the person I'm supposed to be, and everybody around me is the person that they are supposed to be. We are experiencing a settledness within, not from the absence of conflict from without, but a settledness and a wholeness inside of ourselves that leads us to know that we are all well. I want you to listen to what the prophet Isaiah says when he prophesies of the messianic age, the age to come. In Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 4, Isaiah says, "He, that is God, shall judge between the nations, and he shall decide disputes for many peoples, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn of war anymore." Isaiah is talking about a time when there will be no fighting on earth at all. And people will take their weapons because God has settled disputes. People will take their weapons, their implements of war, and they will turn them into farming tools, ways to feed. They will turn their swords into plowshares. They will turn their spears into pruning hooks. I don't know if you've noticed, but there's never been a time in history where that's happened. We're looking forward to something that's coming, a time when there will be peace on earth, not the absence of conflict. There will be an absence of conflict, but not just the absence of conflict. There won't be any conflict because people will be settled within themselves, because they will perfectly trust God and they will be able to live in harmony with one another. And there will be no need for the implements of war. Listen to what the prophet Ezekiel prophesies. This is Ezekiel chapter 39. Ezekiel chapter 39, beginning with verse 9. "Then those who dwell in the cities of Israel will go out, and they will make fires of the weapons and burn them, shields and bucklers, bow and arrows, clubs and spears, and they will make fires of them for 7 years, so that they will not need to take wood out of the field or cut down any out of the forests, for they will make their fires of the weapons. They will seize the spoil of those who despoiled them and the plunder of those who plundered them, declares the Lord God." A coming age where there's no need for missiles, there's no need for tanks, there's no need for machine guns. All of those things are going to be used as fuel for the fire, for energy, for warmth. A time where God's perfect peace will reign. He breaks the bow. He shatters the spear. He makes wars to cease at the end of the earth. And so, the psalmist calls us to be at peace. He calls us to be still. What do you do when you become anxious? It becomes impossible to sit still, doesn't it? Because you feel like you have to be on the move. You feel like you have to take care of yourself. You feel like you have to be evasive. No, but the psalmist says, be still. Be still. Be quiet. Settle down and know that I am God. Know that I will take care of you. He says, I will be exalted on the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. And then he says once again, the God of Jacob is a fortress. So be still. Be at peace. Be well. Because God is taking care of you. Trust it and believe it with all your heart. And then go out and live it. Selah. Let's pray. God, you have called us to believe with all of our hearts that you will take care of us, regardless of the circumstances that are around us. You have called us to believe that you will one day put an end to conflict. Help us to live in the assurance of that promise, even now as we go through the most difficult and trying moments that we face. Help us to be still, to know that you are God, to know that you will be exalted, and that your goodness will reign. Help us to be at peace, to call others to peace, and to live in that peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Number 479. Peace, perfect peace, in this dark world of sin. The blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Peace, perfect peace, by thronging duties pressed to do the will of Jesus, this is rest. Peace, perfect peace, with sorrows surging round, on Jesus' bosom not but calm is found. It is enough, earth's struggles soon shall cease, and Jesus call us to heaven's perfect peace. This fortress, this place of safety, this river of delight, this place of perfect peace is all found in the person of Jesus Christ. You remember in John chapter 7, Jesus was describing himself during the feast of ingathering, the feast of tents and tabernacles. And one of the features of that feast was an emphasis on water. People would leave the city and they would go down to the source of water, either the Brook of Kidron, or I can't remember if it was the Brook of Kidron or it was the Pool of Siloam, where the Brook of Kidron emptied after Hezekiah redirected it. They would go down to that source of water, and on the seventh day of the feast, they would fill their pitchers and they would bring it back seven times. A place of perfect, they're highlighting a place of perfect refreshment. Perfect peace. And on that day, that seventh day of the feast, where they were going down to the spring seven times, Jesus stood up in the middle of the feast. You find this in John chapter 7. Jesus stood up in the feast and said, I am living water. And the one who comes to me will have a source of water, wellspring, springing up inside of him. He's never going to be thirsty. Jesus is the place to go. And oh, how wonderful that no matter what is going on around us, he is the place that we can go for refreshment and nourishment, for solace, for protection and safety, and a place for peace. And that's why I love the song that we're about to sing, number 480. No matter what comes, we seek to be wholly mature in him, to find in him our perfect submission, our perfect delight, and our perfect rest. Selah. Our Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the living water that he gives so that we will never thirst again. Thank you for the constant promise of his presence. For the promise that as we are working on his mission, that he will always be with us right up to the end of the age and into eternity. Help us to bank on this promise and help it to drive out fear of our life because of his presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. I don't know what we'd do if we didn't have that perfect refuge, the fortress that is the God of Jacob. Because we are spiritual Israel, spiritual Jacob. He is still the place we go. And he has given us the perfect example of what perfect peace and assurance looks like in the person of Jesus, who lived every moment of his life in spite of difficult and tempting and testing times. Every moment of his life lived in perfect peace. If you'll follow him, you can have that peace, that assurance that we just sang of as well. So if you would like to make a step in that direction, then tonight we offer to baptize you into Christ, or we offer to pray with you as you seek restoration and renewal. All you have to do is let us know right now as we stand and sing to encourage you.